have a love-hate relationship with technology. Thank you. Okay. So, again, our lessons series is going to be about a pilgrimage of God's people. It's going to be about a history of the journey of pilgrims called by God, which journey we share. We're going to be talking about looking at examples of community, journeys together with purpose, and finally with final farewells among God's chosen people. We'll begin with Abraham and the covenant. Abraham's journey is a foundational story for all of us. And we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 12. And we'll read the first three verses as we take a look at this journey. Genesis chapter 12, first three verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." We're going to see in this series many shadows of the substance of which we are the substance of this journey. We will see in these shadows ourselves. He says here to go forth in verse 1, go forth from your country. And for us, that's, I'll just read this to you, but in Romans 6, 4, the end of sentence says, well, the whole sentence says, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death," that is, our death in the context, "so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." So this coming forth, after having died spiritually, coming forth out of the waters of baptism to that we might walk in newness of life. This is our going forth from our old life. As Abraham was told, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house. And for us, Jesus says, if you love your father, mother, sisters, or brothers more than me, you are not worthy of me. Go forth. Leave those things behind that have to be left behind who are not journeying with you. Go forth from the old way of life. And back here in Genesis 12, he says, go to the land which I will show you. This was a destination and a journey. We are on that same destination and journey that Abraham was a shadow of. He says here at the end of verse 3, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The in you that he's speaking of here to Abraham is the in you is Christ. Because you realize that Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. And this is the in you that he's talking about. Look at Genesis 22:18. We will see this develop in these next few verses. Genesis 22:18. He says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And he says back here, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So we see here that what he's talking about is that seed that would come from Abraham, even Jesus the Christ. If you look in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, we will see further evidence of this Galatians 3:14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So this in you, when he says to Abraham, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed, he's talking about Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, and through him the promise of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us on this journey. So the journey was not only a physical relocation, but also the bringing of a covenantal relationship with God and his chosen people. And this led to the formation of a nation of Israel. Again, it's spiritual Israel that we're talking about. There's more here than the physical nation, the physical land. This is all about the spiritual journey of God's people, the pilgrimage of God's people. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And we will see this is clearly what has been spoken of as we go to Hebrews 11, verse 8 through 10, with Abraham once again. By faith, Hebrews 11, 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, which we just read about in Genesis 12, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And let's pick up again in verse 13. All these, talking about these faithful who were on the journey that Hebrews 11 describes, these faithful of the Old Testament on this same pilgrimage, the same journey that we're on. These who witnesses went before us. He says here in verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They were pilgrims. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And if you look here in chapter 13 of Hebrews and verse 14, we'll pick this up while we're here. It says, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. So we can see here, this was not a physical journey so much. This was the beginning of a spiritual journey of which we also are a part. Another significant incident of the journey would be the Exodus in God's deliverance. Once again, I will remind you of what we looked at as Paul spoke to us after our new birth in Romans 6:4, that after coming out of the waters of baptism, having entered into a death to the flesh, that we arise to a newness of life. He says, so we too might walk in newness of life. This Coming out of the waters of baptism, you see, is our exodus from the world. We're leaving it. We're going on a pilgrimage. God has, at this point, delivered us. So we're looking at the shadow of the exodus and God's deliverance. The story of the exodus where Moses leads the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. We understand, and I'll get ahead of myself. Let me just slow down. He leads the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. It's a powerful narrative of community and journey. That's what we are, a community in this journey. As God's chosen people, they embark on a long journey toward the promised land. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3, and we'll begin in verse 7. 7 through 10, if you're taking notes. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite, and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite, the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. The conclusion and summary of that is in verse 10. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. This is the shadow, but it's reflecting the substance. I will send you, he says to Moses, the you being Jesus. As Moses said, a prophet like unto myself, the Lord will raise up unto you. And he was speaking about Jesus. And he will send you to Pharaoh, which is a figure of Satan, who bound God's people in slavery. He says, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, think spiritual Israel, out of Egypt, out of the world. So, the farewell from Egypt that Moses is speaking about here is a farewell to the world that we say when we come out of the waters of baptism. It symbolizes our liberation from being slaves of sin. With a new purpose, a new nation under God's guidance. Through the blessing of Abraham, as we've seen, in you, in Christ, Christ in us, this would occur. Let's look at John chapter 8, a passage I know you're familiar with, but stir up our minds, put us in remembrance. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So we see here then clearly what the slavery that they were freed from represents is us being freed from the slavery of sin. That's what God is leading us out of and into His glorious kingdom. So let's look then at our next significant incident in this journey. We're going to look at is the farewell of Moses. For your reference, you can read chapters of Deuteronomy 31 through 34. But Moses gives his farewell address to the Israelites before they entered the promised land. He reminds them of their covenant with God, gives them instructions for the future, and appoints Joshua as his successor. And so this farewell underscores the transition of leadership in the ongoing journey of God's people. Let's look at Luke 24, 44 through 48. Luke 24, beginning in verse 44. Now he said to them, this is Jesus speaking after he had died and rose again, was seen amongst his apostles, in and out amongst them for 40 days after his resurrection. These are his final instructions to them. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. So he says that you will be witnesses of these things. So what we're seeing here is he's turning the leadership over. He's going to ascend 10 days later back up to heaven. But he is leaving leadership behind for the community to continue on this journey. Again, we see more about this if you look in Matthew 24, 18 through 20. Matthew 24, 18 through 20. Here again, it's the same situation that Matthew describes, where Jesus had rose from the dead and is giving his instructions to these new leaders that would take over for him. In his instructions, verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the ages. So many lessons here as we look back on those who went before us on their journey. What did I say? I meant Matthew 28. I knew that, and you did too. It's always great to be talking to people that know as much as you do. Maybe more. Okay. So many lessons here as we look at those who have journeyed before us as we're considering our own journey. 2 Timothy 2:2 says that the process would be in this exchange of leadership, that faithful men would teach faithful men who would then be able to go and teach others also. That has been the pattern here that we've used for years, and as we were taught by faithful men who taught us. And now we have passed this along to you and are looking to other leaders to take over as we all go our way when we're called on this journey. In Deuteronomy 31, if you want to turn there, Deuteronomy 31, and we'll look at the first 8 verses. So this was Moses' farewell encouragement to the community. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon, Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or be dismayed. The formation of Israel will be the final part we'll look at today. So after the farewell encouragement by Moses, Joshua assumes the reins as the new leader to take them into the promised land. The journey through the wilderness, characterized by both struggles and divine provisions, highlights community dependence on God, which is true for all of us in our journey as well. God had told them that he would, that he had and that he would go before them, and he would destroy their enemies before them. Of course, these enemies are the enemies in our journey that oppress us, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the flesh, the world and its allure, all these enemies of darkness. God says, do not fear them. I will go with you. I will be with you always through the end of the world. And just as I defeated your enemies in the shadow, so it will be so in the substance. So Joshua now has taken over, and they received the Ten Commandments to establish their identity to who they were and the communal laws that would guide them, that they would become a holy people, separate from the world. And that is our calling as the substance to this journey. Joshua's farewell, you see, once again, there will be a change of leadership. Joshua's farewell, at the end of his leadership, Joshua gathers the Israelites in Joshua 24 and gives a farewell speech urging them to remain faithful to God and the covenant. Faithful to God and the covenant. He reminds them of their history, God's faithfulness, and their commitment to serve him. We are all a part of this history, of this journey of God's people. And finally, he leaves them saying in Joshua 24:15, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It reminds me and sounds like what Moses said in Exodus 32:26. He says, all who are on the Lord's side, come unto me. And so it is. We'll continue, God willing, the next time I'm up here on this pilgrimage of God's people, of which we are a part. If you would stand, we'll be dismissed.